This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up these days, we hear new poll numbers every day, but what do those numbers actually mean? We get the basics from Wisconsin pollster Charles Franklin.
First, you've probably seen a lot of different birds in your backyard over the last couple of weeks. We are at peak bird migration right now here in Wisconsin, and we have an expert to help us identify and help some of the birds passing through the state on their way south.
Ryan Brady joins us now. He's a research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So peak migration time for at least some species. What kind of birds are we seeing making their way through Wisconsin right now?
Well, right now is really high diversity, meaning we have lots of different species, literally hundreds of species that are moving through. Those could be small birds like warblers and sparrows and hummingbirds, all the way up to the larger birds like geese and some waterfowl, and even some birds of prey like broad-winged and red-tailed hawks. So it's a really good mix right now between birds that are migrating really far, from all the way from the boreal forests of Canada or the tundra all the way down into the tropics, or birds that are just starting to migrate a shorter distance, say only from our neck of the woods down into the southern parts of the U.S.
Now, when I think of peak birding season, I think about spring migration with the warblers coming through. I don't think so much about fall migration. Is one better than the other, or are they about the same?
Well, I think they're great for different reasons. A lot of folks really love the spring migration because the birds are more vocal then. They're also more colorful at that time. Most of them are in this real nice plumage, getting ready for breeding season and attracting mates and showing off to beat the other males and so forth. Whereas in the fall, they tend to be in drabber plumages or appearances. They don't tend to vocalize as much. But, wow, there's just lots of things to be excited about even during the fall migration. Just the migration spectacle itself is so fascinating. And you can see so many different birds that you may not get to see during the summer months and certainly not during the winter months here in Wisconsin. So folks get excited for both seasons for sure.
This time of year, what species are like the holy grail for birders? Who are the ones you're really hoping to see when you're out bird watching?
Well, September is much like May in terms of spring migration. It's the analog in the fall, and it's really the warblers that steal the show. It's a small bird, a group of birds, usually about 35 species, give or take, that come through Wisconsin, and only a handful of them actually stay in nest here. Most of them will go either into the northern parts of Wisconsin or way up into Canada, so folks don't get to see them for a very long period during the year, and so there's this kind of little 3 to 5 week period where you get to see them, and that's what birders tend to really hone in on, is those warblers, and that's what a lot of folks in southern Wisconsin are seeing right now. The peak is a little bit past here in the northern part of the state where I'm based.
So warblers are these small songbirds that are so colorful. There are also a lot of us keying in on the bigger birds, the geese that fly overhead that you can hear honking, some of the cranes starting to stage. What do you know about some of those bigger birds?
Well, the bigger birds tend to be a little bit hardier. The little birds are real insect eaters, and as you know, insects don't thrive very long into the fall here, and so that's why they tend to migrate a little bit earlier. A lot of the larger birds tend to eat other sources of food that are here for longer during the fall and into the winter months, provided that there's no heavy snow cover or heavy ice on our waterways. And so the geese and the cranes, they're just starting to kind of get into their migratory mode. The first real good flights of Canada geese have come into the state from interior Canada just this past week, and we'll see those numbers build and build through October. And the cranes, now that nesting season is done, they're starting to all gather together, just form these big groups, and then that'll really peak in the last part of October into the very first part of November, when literally tens of thousands of them might be seen as they kind of wing their way south down to spend the winter on the Gulf Coast, especially down there in Florida.
Let's give a listen to one we might hear in our backyard right about now. And Ryan, can you name that tune?
Well, believe it or not, that's a songbird, and that's a blue jay. And blue jays are really cool because we don't think of them as migratory, but many of them are, and it's a real mysterious thing. We think of kind of our blue jays that hang out in our backyard, and many of us see them year-round, and they come to our bird feeders and eat the sunflower seed and so forth. But many parts of the blue jay population are migratory, so the ones you see during the wintertime may not be the same ones you see at other times of year, and kind of just an interesting tidbit on them. Hawk Ridge Nature Reserve in Duluth, Minnesota, so just outside the Wisconsin state line, They tally migratory birds of all types during the fall, and they've already tallied over 35,000 blue jays migrating south so far this fall. So that's pretty amazing.
So that brings us to, if we want to see a lot of these birds, what are the birding hotspots where we should go and try to get a look?
Well, one of the great things about migration is that you don't have to go all over the place into the wilderness to find birds. And that's kind of true any time of year because birds truly are everywhere, and that's one of the reasons why so many of us love them. But especially in migration, birds don't need really large patches of habitat in order to find the things that they need. So your backyard can be a really great place, or the local park down the road, city parks. But, of course, a lot of our public lands are really excellent places to head to, whether it be a county forest or a national forest, state wildlife area where there's usually lots of great wetlands, which are always great places to find birds, or even just local woodlots on maybe a friend's private land, wherever it might be. There truly is just a wealth of birds to be found pretty much anywhere you can go. It's just really fascinating. That's one of the great things about migration.
Talking to Ryan Brady, research scientist with the DNR, looking at the fall migration season, lots of birds we're hearing on the way through. You mentioned backyards, Ryan. What can we do to make a good stopping point for birds on their way south?
Well, I'm glad you used that word stopping, because that's exactly what these migratory birds need, is stopover habitat. So just like you and I, when we take a road trip, we migrate, so to speak, even if it is temporary. We need places like gas stations and hotels or convenience stores to kind of rest and refuel, right? And so birds need the same thing. And so our backyard can be one of those sites, and the way to do that is to give them food, give them water, give them shelter, and really limit some of the threats and hazards to birds. And so some of those things are like outdoor cats, which are very problematic for birds, window collisions, vehicle collisions, pesticides or other sorts of lawn-based chemicals. Reducing our use of all those things can really help birds. So providing those basics like food, water, and shelter are really, really important.
Any ideas for creating shelter that aren't already there in the form of shrubs and trees and things like that?
Well, one of the simplest things to do, we kind of have an affinity with clearing out brush, but take all that brush and make a nice big brush pile, because if you just kind of corner off one part of your property or your lawn, make a really big brush pile with all that old debris, the birds will just flock in there, and other wildlife too. And that can be a really good place for providing that sort of shelter. Leaving dead trees standing can provide cavities for many species of birds, or even putting up a few nest boxes. And then, of course, you could plant some more cover as well. Conifer, evergreen trees like spruces and firs and pines are really, really important, especially during the winter months as shelter.
And Ryan, you hit the word temporary pretty hard earlier. Is there a risk if we do too much that we make it so attractive that the birds say, this is good enough, we're far enough south, this is a nice setup?
No, that risk is not there. So I would encourage you to plow forward and provide as much as you can. That is a common myth, especially you hear it with hummingbirds and leaving hummingbird feeders out for too long and so forth. But the science shows that those birds will move on, even if you provide them all the adequate needs that they might need. That winter will nudge them along, and everything will be just fine.
Now, I know the birding listservs get pretty active at the migration times of year. What are you hearing about people seeing? What kind of cool species are out there?
Well, there's, all this. Everyone gets excited during migration because every day brings a little bit something different, and you can always see a lot of different things in the same places. But some of the rare stuff that's been showing up that gets people excited are like jaegers. It's a gull, kind of a cross between a gull and a falcon, if you will, and they nest up in the Arctic tundra. And then they spend most of their time way out over the ocean or in the deep waters of the Great Lakes. And it's not too often you see one from land. And a lot of birders will be heading up to Wisconsin Point in Superior this upcoming weekend to see if they can spot some of these jaegers, because that's one of the prime places for finding them. Recently, some folks saw western kingbirds, scissor-tailed flycatchers. These are kind of vagrant birds, birds that are a little bit out of place, and that's what gets a lot of birders going when you kind of get that gift of seeing something right here in Wisconsin that you may not get to see again.
Can birders do a little citizen science? Is there a way for them to let you at the DNR or other researchers know what they saw, where they saw it, and when?
Well, there's lots of different ways to get involved in various citizen science programs in Wisconsin. We have a very rich community of citizen science programs, especially related to birding. But the simplest thing I would recommend is going to eBird, so that's eBird.org/WI, or Wisconsin eBird. And this is an online place for you to submit your bird observations. And at the same time, it'll keep track of all of the bird observations like a journal or a diary, if you will. And so scientists can use all those from all the data from all the birders around the state. And at the same time, you get to keep fun lists of like how many birds you've seen this year, how many birds you've seen at your house, and all those sorts of things. So even just submitting observations from your backyard can really help bird conservation in the long run.
And Ryan, just briefly, how much longer do we have in different parts of the state to get out there and try to see some of these cool birds?
Well, a lot of it depends on exactly what species we're talking about, but we'll have bird migration going all the way well into December when ice up occurs. Now, a lot of these insect-eating birds, the smaller songbirds that are migrating all the way down into Central and South America, the time is running out. You have basically a couple weeks. So we'll see a changing of the guard here soon to not so much birds that eat insects, but to birds that eat more seeds like the sparrows and the juncos and some of the waterfowl moving through into October.
Great. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Ryan Brady, research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He joined us to talk about what birds we're seeing during this fall migration and how to help them while they're migrating.